Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi everyone, you're listening to Take the Hit with Official Charts, a podcast about music that goes way beyond your standard music interview and asks the questions you never knew you needed answers to. My name's Rob, I'm editor of officialcharts.com, a website full of music news, features and interviews, as well as the official singles and albums charts, as heard on BBC Radio 1. Joining me today from the team is David.
Hello.
Hi David, how are you?
I am very good, thank you.
Thank you for joining us again on this podcast.
Thank you for inviting me, Rob.
You made it back.
I'm back for another...
for another go. Yeah. This week's guest is Freya Ridings.
Amazing.
And she has a hugely successful ballad called Yes. Lost Without You.
Oh God, yeah, I definitely know that one.
It became popular through Love Island, which I don't watch. So, David, I believe you
watched
it.
Why don't you watch it, Rob?
Do
you actually go out in the summer?
Yeah, I actually enjoy the sun.
Wow.
No, I don't like watching relationship drama. It doesn't interest me, but I totally understand that it is interesting and fun to watch. I don't really get it.
See, I don't know whether it's because I have my own drama myself, but I like watching it.
That's a different
podcast. Yeah, that's a different podcast. So I used to be the same thing. Like, I'm not watching Love Island. Like, it's summer. I'm going to be out living my life.
Yeah.
Next thing, I'm sat on the sofa every single night with my housemate with one of those bottles that's got my name written on it.
Oh, my God.
So I'm really aware of the track. No, not that far. The strange house. So I'm really, really aware of the track because It was a big moment in last year's...
In the show?
Yeah, huge.
Not even being a fan of the show, I was even aware of this song on the show because I watched that bit on YouTube.
Yeah.
I could kind of, even though I didn't like the show, I still knew that song from the show.
But how many times does that happen? That doesn't happen, I don't think.
So rarely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we talk about it loads in the upcoming interview about how that even came to be. Well, the song... reached number 9 on the official singles chart, which seems kind of like it should have done better.
I thought it would have done better, if I'm honest.
But I guess because it was one of those songs that climbed, it was a climber. Even though it only reached number 9, it reached number 9 on 5 separate occasions. So like,
really?
It kept bouncing back up. So
that's crazy.
That's quite rare in itself.
Yeah.
And she also has a new single out called You Mean the World to Me, which is currently growing on the chart. And it is another corker, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it was produced by Greg Kurstin, who has worked with so many people, but Adele being one of them. And the video, have you seen the music video for it?
I've not seen the music video. I heard the track. I really like the track.
So the music video features Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones, which is another TV show I don't watch.
I can't believe you're out living your life. You're supposed to be watching TV.
But yeah, and it was directed... or produced, I believe, by Lena Headey from Game of Thrones as well.
Right, amazing. That's
Freya
a huge
does have the connection.
They're big names. They're big names from the show. So yeah, that's a big deal.
Anyway, we talk about the new single and her debut album and loads more in the interview, which I actually recorded at London's Tile Yard Studios in King's Cross, which is like a massive creative music hub. Have you been to it before?
No, I've not been. No,
it's like a mini village.
Really.
Or old industrial estate, and it's loads of recording studios and management and all basically anything to do with the music industry. There's like a little village of it there.
A creative
and
village.
I'd never been before, and it was weird but also really cool. They had a really nice cafe.
I'd love to go. You can take me sometime.
Yeah. Anyway, should we have a listen?
Yep.
Great. How are you?
I'm really good.
Yeah.
Enjoying that Friday feeling.
Yeah, it's Friday feeling, although horrible weather outside.
I know, it's so grim, but did have a cheese toasty and tomato soup for lunch that made me feel very, very warm.
That's so warming. Oh, cheese toasty.
Yeah, like a triple cheese toasty, like 3 different kinds of cheese. Melted inside.
I'm all about the cheese.
Oh, so good.
So we're in Tile Yard Studios.
Yeah.
Which is...
Creative hub.
Yeah, it's like, well, that's a better word than I was going to say. I was going to say one-stop shop for everything, right? I mean,
yeah, I've been coming here since I was like 18, and it's just like a great sort of secret amalgamation of like creative industries in one place.
Yeah,
it has a cool cafe. I don't really come here a lot anymore. I used to come here like every day.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I didn't realise that. So, working here for a long time.
Well, we actually recorded Lost Without You in that room there, and we recorded it on a really cheap mic with like no help. You can actually hear the dishwasher. I'm not sure if it's in the tape that was used. But it's definitely on there somewhere.
It's always the way, right? Like, the unexpected hit, I guess, in that sense.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Life must have changed a lot since last summer, I'm guessing.
It's one of those kind of, like, slow, like, snowball kind of effects. It's never, like, one moment. It's always, like, kind of gradual building of things. And, like, you do have certain moments where you're like, this is weird. Like, how am I on the Late Show with James Corden? I was just singing in my bedroom. This makes no sense. But it makes me so grateful for it.
Yeah. Do you have moments to take it all in, or have things just got so much busier now that you're like, think about it later?
I feel like over Christmas, it definitely, like, I just took a bit of time to be quiet and at home, because definitely when you're like traveling a lot and touring, it can get a bit kind of like whirlwindy, which I love because it's so exciting. And, you know, I'm working with a team of people that I love and I've been working with since day one. So, you know, we have a laugh on the way. But it's just nice to kind of stop sometimes and take it all in and just be like, this is really crazy.
Yeah, I guess one thing to take in is, as I've just been showing outside, is it platinum disc?
Yeah, the platinum disc arrived today. I'm not going to lie. At school, we had an art project, and I don't know why I decided to, but I basically stole a load of my mum and dad's vinyls. I super glued them to a piece of like wood board and painted it, put it on my wall, and was like pretended that they were mine. Because I was like an insane, lonely ginger child. And basically, it somehow come true. And I literally danced around in the record label meeting because I just couldn't contain myself.
That is crazy.
Because it's one of those like things that happens. Like, these things happen in like films. Like, they don't happen in real life.
But isn't it like Oprah? It's just like Oprah.
I love Oprah.
Didn't she write a check to herself?
Yeah.
Like, did you read about this?
People always, like Jim Carrey and stuff, they always do the visualization thing.
Wrote a check for like $250 million or something on her wall.
Go big, right?
And she was,
love Oprah.
Yeah. She did go big, and then she got big.
And then she could probably go home as well.
It's kind of the same thing, right?
I'm a huge believer in like visualizations.
Yeah.
I used to think it was absolute bollocks. And then one of my mom's friends was training to be like a life coach, and I was at quite like a dark place, and I was like, I feel like I'm just going to sort of give up music for a little bit, maybe try something else, because I've been writing and singing consistently since I was 11.
Right.
And like open mic nights, gigging like every night around London on my own. So I was really tired, and I said I'm just going to, you know, have a little break. And in this sort of, I don't know, week-long break or whatever I gave myself, I did these visualizations with my mom's friend, and I'm not even joking, they all came true. And I didn't even like believe it was going to happen. I thought none of it was going to happen.
I guess a really known, widely reported part of your story is the Love Island moment.
Yeah.
Were you a fan of Love Island before?
Interesting question. So I hadn't been, but I had just recently got into, there was a few series on Netflix, and I was traveling a lot, and
the old ones.
Yeah, it was the series where everyone got into it like about 2 years ago, three years ago. It was like 2 or 3 years ago one. And basically I downloaded the whole thing and obsessively like binge watched it. So I was like about a series or two behind. But I was also keeping an eye on what was going on in the one that was happening currently. But it's hard because you can't watch it live because you're on planes and stuff.
Yeah, so it kind of takes you out there.
But I knew what was happening. I was watching like YouTube clips just to keep in with like what my friends were like saying, because it's such an interactive thing and people get so like emotionally invested in these people's lives. Yeah. And I love that. Like, relationships are my favourite thing ever. I got so emotional by the end of it. Like, people's like real emotions and real feelings. And I know like it's like heightened reality, but at the same time, like, we've all been there. Like, you know, we all cry over the same guys, and like, you know, I absolutely love it. And it was such an honour to be part of it without ever realising that it would play such a big part of my journey as a, you know, singer.
And I guess now there's new music.
Yeah, we're in the final stages of finishing the debut album. It's just insane because I started all of these songs on my own. I wrote all of them, not all of them on my own, but I wrote all of them. And it's one of those crazy things just when you're writing on your own and you can imagine like the different instruments, like string quartets and like gospel choirs, and then they come true. And I'm like, I mean, who gets it? Like, this is just crazy. So I was just trying to enjoy the journey of it. But now it's kind of getting closer to release. So I'm like, I just really excited to share it with people.
I was going
to
say, are you excited or are you just like, oh, people actually are going to hear this now.
I think because I played Lost Without You at open mic nights around London for like quite a few years before I even sort of brave enough to release it, I think it's like it's been a huge reward in terms of like I feel like I can sort of believe in the sort of stripped back sort of emotional songs that I love listening to and I love writing, and it's like I'm not ashamed that they're not, you know, perceived as cool, because it's kind of for some weird reason has come full circle and now it's like seen as sort of brave. But at the time I was just like, that's all, it's who I was authentically on my own with no one watching, and so it feels really special.
And like you say, open mic nights stuff, like seasoned singer then, that's, those are tough games.
Super tough.
Yeah, when people don't really know who you are or what's
well, no one cares. But no, I almost love that, like you have to win around a room full of like drunk people on like a Friday night, you're like, come on, let's do this. And it kind of like, it gives you this sort of strange kind of biofeedback, like energy in the room, you can really feel the room. And also it means that you have so much more appreciation when people now come to see your songs, because people would always be like, play covers, and I'd like stick in like Lost Light, you'd be like, sorry, and they'd be like, it's all right, just get back to playing Born to be Wild, and I'm just like, okay.
Oh, God.
So like, just to, especially when people send me videos of like, you know, them playing, like young girls playing my song at open mic nights, it literally makes me emotional, because I'm like, that was me, oh my God.
As you mentioned, you've been writing songs for ages.
Yeah.
Do you feel any kind of pressure to live up to the song? Because a song like this doesn't come around very often in the general like music world, that a song that connects so well. So do you even try and repeat that success? Or
I think that song came from a time where I really honestly didn't care what anyone else thought, and it's so easy to get sucked into that now when people are being so positive. But it's like that thing of like, you just have to remember that who you are on your own in the silence, it doesn't matter if, you know, people are saying they love you or they hate you, you are still who you are. And it's just being authentic to that. It's hopefully, like, that's the thing that grounds me, is just coming home to my front room, no matter where I've been or what I've done, like, I'm doing the washing up, I'm cooking with my mom, and I'm sitting in my front room at the same piano I wrote all the songs on, and it just grounds me. And I remember how it was in the old days.
Ah, same way. I mean, you mentioned your parents. They were quite musical, weren't they?
Yeah, so my dad plays guitar and writes his own songs, just for love, because he's like an actor, voiceover artist, but he loves music. And we had like, you know, lots of instruments around when I was growing up, and I was so stubborn. I was like, I'm not going to play any of them, because I didn't want to make him happy. I was like, no! I was such a stubborn little ginger pony.
That's interesting that you were kind of rebelling against.
Yeah, I literally thought I'd taken a really long time to start playing an instrument because I was like 9, because I remember cutting out a cardboard cutout of a violin and pretending to play it until they bought me a violin. And then I decided you can't sing with a violin, so I stopped playing it.
That's true, yeah.
Apparently you can, like in the country way, like on your sort of...
Oh, like a fiddle.
Yeah, like a fiddle, but I didn't know that. Or I would have probably done that.
Something to learn in the future.
But for me, like, piano is like, they all have their own personalities, and they're my favourite instrument by far.
On the new music?
Well, we've shot the official music video for the next single, which is called You Mean the World to Me. It's a song I wrote about my mom when she wasn't very well. Never thinking anyone would hear it. It's always the ones you think people aren't going to hear. Really weird. But we shot the music video with the Game of Thrones girls, like Maisie Williams and Nina Hedy. And it was an incredible experience. We shot it at like this sort of like falling down mansion in like, it was like in the forest in Essex. It's really random.
Sounds cold.
It was absolutely freezing. And I'm not joking, it was like -5 and I was in like a sheer dress outside, just like, oh, I'm gonna die. So worth it.
Are we ready to play Take the Hit?
I'm so ready. I love this little like bingo set you have. Do you take this everywhere with you, like on the tube?
I've taken a shine to it. It comes everywhere with me now.
I really like it.
So the game is bingo, obviously. And the numbers that come out relate to the biggest selling singles of all time.
This is so fun.
And I'll ask you a question based on that song.
Cool.
That's cool?
Yeah.
Ready to go?
Yeah.
Right, let's try and work this out.
84.
So the 84th biggest selling single of all time in the UK is Jessie J, Price Tag.
Is it?
B-A-B.
Stunning.
Number one in 2011.
It was. Oh, I love that song. I just feel like she really like tapped into that feeling that we all had in that sort of, in the zeitgeist at that moment of like, there's got to be something more important than how much things cost.
So my question, based off that, is a good starter one, actually.
Uh-huh.
What is the most expensive thing you bought? I'm going to go within the last year.
Within the last year? See, this is the thing, like, I'm always like, ooh, like, basically I spend all my money on, like, makeup and skincare and like sheet masks. So individually, they're not that much.
A very pricey hobby.
It is actually more than you'd think. It's one of those things where, like, I don't know, I have like a mental block to buying things that are bigger than that, but I do like, what was it? It's probably like some kind of moisturizer. God, I'm so sad.
Have you ever thought about how much you've spent on?
Oh, I don't want to know. I literally, oh my God, it's probably that or Ubers. I like have a problem. I think my biggest purchase one day, hopefully, will be a flat. But that's my goal in life, and it's not a guarantee, so I'm just gonna.
Especially in London.
I mean, maybe I could like buy somewhere in like, you know, Swindon. Who knows?
Should we go again? Yeah. I think I fixed it. So turn around this, the other wall.
Wow, yes.
Find out.
Powerball.
50. The 50th biggest selling single is Shaggy. It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Number one in 2001.
I know, I remember.
It was everywhere.
It was like that summer, it was boiling, and that Shaggy just was like on repeat on like everyone's radio. It's just one of those songs that gets into your head and you can't get it out of your head. Like, even when you said it now, I'm thinking of like the whole melody. It's like, it doesn't leave your brain for like an hour after you can think about it.
I need to look up who came up with this.
It's genius. Melody.
Yeah.
What were they doing on the bathroom floor again?
Kitchen. Oh.
Oh, that was it. Got it.
It had to be like changed for radio.
It didn't. It was like
begging on the bathroom floor.
I was crying.
I think it was crying.
Some kind of sad. Yeah, begging maybe.
It was something like slightly unintelligible. Like they'd kind of fudged the word.
I love a fudged swear word on the radio.
So my question is, have you ever done something bad that you blamed on somebody else?
Oh, well, I have a younger brother. He's 7 years younger than me, so we're so close, but at the same time, definitely that age gap definitely is an advantage to me, and I still feel bad about some of the things that I did, but at the same time, he's cheeky as well, and he would get away with loads of stuff. But he's like, I remember my mum being like, just be careful, because one day he's going to be bigger than you, and he now can pick me up like a baby, and he's 17. My oven exploded, like the oven door, because I left it on, and I said, it was him.
Oh, that's bad.
I know.
You broke, was it the family oven?
Yeah. The glass just shattered and I was like, oh my God, I left the oven on. That was so bad.
That's, what a pain.
Yeah. And I was like, it's because he left the pizza and I think it might not be him. It was definitely my sweet potatoes, cancer.
Were you generally well behaved at kind of school and
yes. home? Yes. Oh. I really like was very, very shy at school, but I feel like at home it was where I kind of like let loose a bit and I was a bit more like mad and kind of, I was just a really mad toddler. I feel like toddlers in general are, but redheaded toddlers are like another level. For some reason, I used to just like run out into the street, like, wah, like for no reason. I still think about it, like, what was I doing?
And how did you come out of that shyness? Because personally, I remember being quite shy at school and I remember being quite like, I've got to do something about this.
Yeah. I felt like, performing. The first time I sang at like a school show was the first time I was ever myself at school, and that was a huge thing to me. I was like, wow, this is the only like way I feel like I can be my truest self at school. And so it was definitely a huge part of it, but I definitely had to like learn to kind of be confident, because I really wasn't. In terms of at home, I was totally myself and free, and then in school I remember my mum being like, you know, you just have to like just stand tall and like, you know, say hi to people. I'm like, you know, I can't do it, I'm so shy, I can't do it. It's just, I think it's a normal thing at that age, but it's just something. I read a lot of books on sort of like, you know, things you can do, like the Wonder Woman pose and stuff.
Were your parents like, when they went to parents' evening, were they like, are you talking about our child?
I think they knew I kind of like went into my shell a bit at school. But I would kind of do like sort of rebellious things. It was just kind of hard when they're like, my parents were like so supportive that I just had to rebel in sort of different ways, because like I'd be like, oh, I'm just like going down the canal to drink some cider. They were like, we've got a couple of bottles. I'm like, we'll bring a blanket. And I'm like, oh my God, like, can you please, like. But at the same time, like, I look back and I'm like, I never really got in with like my peer. Like, I was never really led by what my peers thought. I was more led by what my family thought of me. So that's still true.
I actually, it just reminded me, I read, and again, this is probably widely known.
What is it?
But I read that your dad is the Peppa Pig.
Yeah, Daddy Pig. The voice of Daddy Pig.
Daddy Pig.
Yeah.
Oh, what an amazing like sort of dinner party story to be able to tell everyone.
It's really
cool. By the way, I am Daddy Pig.
He doesn't really tell people. It's like when you're kind of going around the supermarket, you'll just see little people like, they can hear it, they don't know where it's coming from, and they're like, where is it coming from? Where is it coming from? And most of the time, like, it's so funny at like, parties, like sort of cues form of like mums being like, can I get a voice message? And it's just so sweet, just that. It's like he has a superpower. He can make little people really happy.
Did he have any idea what he was getting himself into when he did this? No. And how did he
get family who like created it. And they were just a lovely, really creative family. And they just came up with this brilliant idea. And it was such a small niche thing for such a long time. I remember he came home when I was like 12. And was like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this. He does loads of weird, like, you know, he was like, I don't know, a tortoise or something in this like video game that was big. I don't know. But it's just weird things where he comes home and it's like, oh, there's a pig or something, put pigs and a dinosaur. And I was like, that sounds like it's never going to take off. And they're like this massive thing. I'm like, I was wrong.
Should we go?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Again.
Yeah. Come on now. Yeah!
22. Take a sip. 20, oh yeah, imagine if it was.
That'll be good.
So the 22nd biggest selling single is Mark Ronson feat. Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk.
Stunning!
Already the 22nd biggest selling single.
I love
That's
it.
That's crazy. Number one in 2014. It was in 2014. That's crazy, isn't it?
The fact that that's 5 years ago actually hurts my brain a bit.
Yeah, I remember he said in quite a few interviews that he drove himself crazy making that song.
Yeah.
Like he just made so many different versions.
But he was right.
Yeah, it was the kind of track that needs that.
Yeah, there's so many different elements and it's so...
Have you ever gone back and forth on a track just going, I can't get this right?
We literally recorded one of the songs we have, I think, like seven different people. It was actually like a literal nightmare. But it's one of those things that it's like, it's crazy because I had this like bedroom demo that's like, seems to be better than them all. And we were trying to work out what it was. And I think it was the fact that like, I was just kind of like on my own and there was like no pressure. There's like a bus in the background. And so we kind of managed to recreate that somehow. And it was like, kind of got it back.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Because I never play to a click. It's funny that.
Right. Oh, do you not?
No.
Do most people then play to like something that kind of keeps them on?
Yeah, most people in pop have a click.
Right.
But with me, it's like, for some reason, because the songs I've written not to a click, suddenly they lose some part of their soul when you put them to tempo.
Right.
But the songs that are written with like a drum beat on them are absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's funny how to get a ballad into that kind of like pop sphere. It's kind of, it's a difficult jump.
My question based off that, I just realised I had to actually ask the question.
Yeah.
What is your idea of a great night out?
Oh my god, I love this idea. A great night out. See, this is the thing. I don't have many anymore. Because, like, I don't drink when I'm on tour and I don't drink when I'm working. And I would kind of do that a lot. Which is amazing. And I really enjoy not drinking. But I do love, like, you know, catching up with old friends and, like, you know, going out. It's Friday night, isn't it?
It is.
I'm so boring. I don't even have any fun.
Is there ever a temptation to... Or is there kind of the prospect of having to perform...
It's everything, and I've done it before, and I regret. Like, it's just one of those things that I just can't. I know how many people are relying on me, and I just don't want to let anyone down. So I'm just completely like very, very health conscious. But when I have like I don't know, like over Christmas, like my birthday or something, I'll be just like a bit more crazy. But a perfect night out, I would say that I really like house parties and like doing stuff at home. I feel like my favorite parties were we did like a sort of a ping pong party in my garden. For my 21st birthday, it was my favourite, and I would, like, cook the meal for everyone I love, and, like, just, like...
Wait, you cooked?
Yeah, yeah.
What birthday girl cooking?
I legit cooked for, like, so many people. And
did you regret that?
There was a few vegan people that I didn't know were coming, and I had to redo the whole dish, and I was like, it's all good. But I love it so much, because, like, you can just dance, you're like, just be crazy and wild. And just, like, with my family as well, like, I never drink around my family, so when we're all together, like, having, like, a lol in the kitchen, like, that's just my favourite thing in the world.
It's strange when you have those moments with your family. It's in a good way, isn't it? Because it's like, oh, we never do this.
Yeah, we never just like, you know, like turn off all the lights in the kitchen, and like we have like candles outside. It's just really nice.
Should we go again?
Yeah. Can I do it again?
73. That is John Legend, All of Me.
I love that song so much. Yeah. Literally, I love that song so much.
Really?
I just feel like it's a beautiful example of how, like, you know how much he loves his wife and you love the fact. I love love songs that are balanced and they're not just about someone saving someone else, they're about two people saving each other. That makes me so happy.
Yeah, it's also kind of... It
gives me hope.
It's you're right, it does, but it also feels really simple in a good way, and I'm sure it's not at all.
Oh yeah, writing simple ballads is like the hardest thing ever.
Yeah.
So like, I have so much respect for people like John Legend. You're like, oh my god, I know how much time that went into that. And that's hard.
It wasn't a number one, despite being a huge seller. It got to number two in 2014. Sad.
But in your head, you'd still think it was a number one for some weird reason.
Yeah, I mean, give it to him.
Yeah.
My question is, what is the most personal song you've written to date?
I would say it's Lost Without You. But I know it's not, because the next song, that's the next single that's coming out, You Mean the World to Me, is funny. Out of the two songs when I wrote them, there was a long period of time where I couldn't literally get through the song without crying. It was so sad, and I don't really cry. So this was the weirdest part. So it's like, if I'm writing a song and it makes me want to cry, I'm like, this is something, like I've hit some sort of random nerve in my brain. And I don't know, it's like every time I thought about my mom and the fact that she wasn't well, like still to this day, I get super emotional singing it. And it's like, with Lost Without You, you've kind of got to a stage where I'm, you know, sometimes I get to that place, but it happens so much more with You Mean the World to Me. So, especially with, like, the music video now, it adds another level of, like, emotion that I'm like, oh.
See, if you're not a crier, then when you do cry, you just...
It means more.
Go, or do you just... Yeah. Does it just overflow and you can't stop?
It's well hard, because sometimes, like, I mean, because I play a lot more now, it happens a lot less, but at the same time, like, when I didn't used to play that many gigs... And it was like a big kind of moment. I used to just be like, I just get to the end of the song. Like there's like a single tear and then there's like ugly crying. And you're just like, you want to stay with that single tear. Because like on stage people are like, oh damn. And you're like, oh.
She's gone.
There's like a fine line. Yeah.
Yeah, the single tear is very like classy.
Yeah, I love a single tear, but you can't always hard to contain pull off. It.
Yeah, hard to pull
That's
off.
The problem. You're like, I'm really sad now. Kind of tips over the edge. But like, that's the job like I love. It's like, you can always find a way to get back to that place. Like, you know, no matter what you're going through.
Yeah.
There's always a reason.
And I guess maybe it's that song. I was going to ask, have you also written a song that you're just like, that is too personal to put out into the world?
You mean the world to me? Legitimately.
Yeah, I'll spit you up.
100%. 100%. I was like, not going to share that with anyone.
And then do people say...
It kind of forced me. I did it kind of like at my friend's open mic night. And like, I got this weird reaction. I was like, oh my god, everyone hated it. That was terrible. I'm never playing it again. All good. And then I just turned, like, I sort of realised that like we were just all crying, but like in silence. And I was like, oh my god, I'm definitely not showing anyone this. But it slowly just became like the song that people would come up to me after shows and like would just cry because they'd tell me stories about like their mum and I'm just like,
yeah, are you finding yourself having to take on people's emotional baggage slightly?
Yeah, hugely.
Which is like, a big weight, actually. Like, some pop stars and some singers say, like, I struggle sometimes with the meet and greets because people pour everything out to you and you kind of take it on.
It's hugely humbling that people have opened their lives and their hearts to someone just because of, you know, one song. And it's like, especially, like, it's a hugely vulnerable place to be. And I take that with such an immense amount of, like, I can take that responsibility extremely seriously. But it's one of those things that you suddenly, you see people you haven't seen in a while, people you know, and they're like, it's almost like you've been in their lives, but you haven't been there.
Yeah.
So to them, you're like, just the conversation's continuing, but to you it's like, wow, that's, I haven't heard all that dark, sad stuff that's happened to you, I'm so sorry. Like, it's just one of those things that, it is a weight, but it's more of an honour.
Yeah, and you've said that your kind of forte, I suppose, is like the sadder songs.
I don't know why, like,
yeah,
I think that's
yeah,
why I kind of feel to be like, kind of happier in my life. Is
do
to
you offset
get
it with being like... upbeat and...
I know I have a melancholic side. I know, like, I feel like everyone does, and that's the thing that sad songs really unite us in. We're like, oh my god, I'm not the only one to feel this way.
Yeah.
Because it's not a common thing that people go around saying. But for some reason, songs are the one place where people are like, we all feel like this, it's fine. You know?
Yeah.
Like, when Adele sang Someone Like You at the Brits, and we were all there, it was the most bizarre thing. Like, people that I've never seen cry were, like, crying. And we were all just like, what just happened? The room just became, like, it was the O2 Arena, it just became, like, a tiny room.
Yeah. That's but hard to do.
Moments like that are like, they transform you.
Yeah, definitely. Should we go again?
Yeah.
There is actually, I had another one down.
What is that?
45. 45. So the 45th biggest selling single is Daft Punk feat. Pharrell Williams, Get Lucky.
You know what? That came on the radio this morning and I actually had a little bit of a moment. I love this song.
Because
so much.
Because it got like so overplayed at the time.
Yeah.
It kind of
burnt into everyone's
brain. Burnt it a bit. But when you have a break from it, my God, isn't it good when you hear it again?
I freaking love
what
it.
What a great song.
It's one of those songs I was waiting to get sick of. And I was like, I'm going to get sick of it. I know it's coming. And it never really happened. And I know what you mean. I could feel everyone else around me being like, I think there was a point where I did have to stop listening to it for like maybe like a year.
Based on that song.
What's it going to be, Rob?
Yeah, what do you
think? What's it going to be?
Well, I want to talk to you about your lucky break. Mm. Now, it may be the Love Island thing. I was going to ask you, do you think that is it? Because obviously it wasn't an overnight thing, despite it being perceived to be an overnight thing for some people, because like your song just randomly featured.
You know when people say like it takes 10 years to be an overnight success?
Yes.
That literally happened.
Yeah. But would you consider that a lucky break moment for you? Or
Like, I find that like it's definitely like a catalyst and a moment that I will always be so grateful for, because like you don't get many of those moments where everything kind of comes together. After so many things not coming together, after so many years, it's just, you appreciate them a lot more. But at the same time, there are so many of those little lightning bolt moments that have like led up to this.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm incredibly grateful for it. And I know what it's like to not have it. So I am grateful. But it's like, there's so many moments.
Yeah. I mean,
that people might not know and have seen.
Was the story that your friend sent in 3 tracks to the producers? Is that the right story?
Well, it was actually a friend, he was like one of the very uncool, like me, people at Brit School who actually used to get their homework in on time, somehow. He was interning actually at this indie record label, and it's his first day as an intern, and they were doing an A&R meeting, and they were like, do you have anyone? And he was like, I have a mate I went to school with. And that's literally it.
Wow, my
God. After three years of like being in the wilderness after school, being like, this is like the darkest years of my life, because everyone went to uni and was like, I know what I want. And I was like, I know what I want, but it's like really hard.
Oh my God.
It was definitely a huge risk, a huge gamble.
Yeah. Oh my God. Does that make you think what could have happened if that conversation hadn't taken place?
But it was so funny because they asked me the next day, we went for a coffee with Charlie Moss, who's incredible A&R. And I was so nervous, and I'd had meetings like this before, and I was like, I don't want to mess it up.
Yeah.
And I was just like, the problem with these meetings is they never let me play. I was like, they always want you to play like a recorded version, and I'm terrible at recording things. So I was like, if you just have a piano, and I heard they had Tom Waits' piano, and I was like, okay, can I play you one song, and then I promise I'll go. And he was like, okay, like, cool. And I came upstairs and I played Lost Without You, and was like, can I stay? And they were like, we'll give you a chance. And I was like, oh my God.
That's so cool.
And it's just one of those moments that, like, today with the discs arriving, you have to pinch yourself, because I remember that moment so clearly.
Oh my God, yeah.
And I felt my heart pounding my chest. I was so nervous, because I was never that confident person to be like, I've got a song. I was like, I don't really have any songs.
Yeah. Maybe this one.
I was like, maybe, I don't know. But at the time, it was like, to not have drums, to not have, I don't know, backing dancers,
exactly.
To not have auto-tune, like, all of these things were not cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I was definitely like a zebra in a horse race.
Well, I wanted to ask about that because it just goes to show that sort of labels and people just constantly sort of think this is what we should do right now because that's what's doing well.
No one would sign anyone like me at that time. No one. Which is why I have so much respect for the, you know, small team of hardworking people who took a gamble on me when it wasn't the thing to do.
And it really helps when it really like stood out on radio or,
yeah.
I mean, it was getting played everywhere eventually. But it still really stood out because you were like, there aren't really songs out like this.
No.
At the moment, it's all just, not all the same, but there just isn't songs like that.
Yeah.
That are so stripped back.
I see a lot of people trying to do, you know, what you do when you're young, which is try and do, you know, you emulate other people. But there's this thing which is what you would do on a desert island when no one could hear you. That's probably the thing you should be doing.
Yeah. You mentioned Brit School.
Yeah.
What is that like? Because to me, it's like Fame and everyone's kind of dancing in the corridors.
No.
And no.
There was one day when people danced on the tables, one day, and that was the musical theatre people. That was the musical theatre people, and I love them to bits.
No.
And because I was brought up around actors, I sort of got on with the actors and musical theatre people a lot more. I felt like they have this camaraderie and this kind of like, they're quite like passionate. And there was something about like my year in like the music students, they were just very, very like shut down and cool and icy. And I was like, oh, I'm not one of you. And I used to be like, do you guys want to write? And they're like, no. So it's one of those things that I spent a long time being like, oh, I find my tribe there. And I had to go there and like to not find it again was like such heartbreak. And that actually was the catalyst for me to be like, I'm going to freaking transform my life because yeah. If this doesn't, nothing's going to make me.
Do we have time for one more?
There we go. Oh, look at it. Number three.
Number three.
Number three.
Third best-selling single of all time.
I need to know.
Oh.
What is it?
It is Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody.
I love Bohemian Rhapsody, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit of a bonkers song, just yeah. To say the least. Number one twice.
Yeah.
In 1975 and 1991, I think.
Yeah. I love Queen.
So my question based off it was, is there a really bonkers song that you've written that you haven't kind of, you're not putting out, or you've just made one somewhere? What the hell is that?
Actually, there's a song that is actually going to be the first song on the album, and it's quite like gothic and intense. And I remember writing it being like, this is way too like out there. It's not cool. Like, it's a bit, it's got some sort of like vampire imagery in it because it's like really sort of like gothic-y and like quirky and not what I thought a pop single would ever be. But I just wrote it being like, I just really like this kind of like music, this sort of like Celtic sort of inspired. But basically, in my head, there were drums, but I didn't have a drummer. So on the piano, I just go ding, 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 like a drum. And it's really sad. But at the same time, now I actually get to play it on stage with like this incredible drummer and like a whole band that like, comes to life. And I feel like at the time of writing it, I was really like embarrassed and being like, it's just this weird like gothic kind of, it doesn't really have a normal pop structure.
Right.
It's a bit creepy, but I love playing it, so.
And it's on the album?
It's going to be the first, it's going to open the album.
Oh, nice. Oh my God, I can't wait.
I'm really excited. It's got like all these strings on it now. Oh my God, I can't wait.
Oh, nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for playing Take the Hit.
I love this like game. I need to get it at home.
So that was Freya Ridings. David, what did you make of her?
Oh, again, another. We've got some lovely guests so far. I know it's only two, but yeah, just like the nice, humble singer-songwriters.
I loved the bit she said on visualizing her success because she was saying how she was performing in bars to people who weren't listening, which is really must be soul destroying.
I feel awkward when I see that happening, so I can't imagine how they feel when it's going on.
But she also was quite confident, like she didn't seem phased, like she said it was a challenge, which is such a great mindset. I'm not sure I'd have the confidence to have that mindset.
Well, maybe try it, like you were saying.
I am gonna try visualizing something. I don't know what, but something big is happening.
Okay.
This podcast.
Okay, yeah. There we go.
Was there any bits you took away from it at all?
It's amazing when, like, she's done so well, and, like, the part where she was saying that she'd stolen some of her family's vinyl, sprayed them and put them up on the wall as, like, platinum. And then she's obviously now received the platinum, the BPI Brits award. So that, like, ties in amazing. It's so, like she said, it's like things you think about when you're younger that never happen, but it's actually happening to her. So that I'm obviously really pleased for her, a bit jealous. I'd love to be
I'd say it was like a strange moment. She seemed quite overwhelmed. Like, if it wasn't made clear in the interview, we were sitting basically amongst her platinum disc award, which kind of get handed out to people in the industry as a thank you for working on the project. And we were literally sitting in a sea of these platinum discs for this song, which was just so weird, but very cool.
And her dad's the voice of Peppa Pig's dad.
Yes.
Which is insane.
Such a great like dinner party conversation you could have.
That I wouldn't bother with a music career. Not that she shouldn't, but like that's a claim to fame there. Like,
dine out on that for life.
Yeah.
Thank you again, Dave, for joining us.
Thank you, Rob.
This week. And thank you to Freya Ridings. And remember, you can check out all the latest music news, singles and albums charts, and the biggest selling singles of all time chart on officialcharts.com. And follow us on all major social media platforms at Official Charts. See you again soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.